Blog Talk Radio.
Now, how many of you are familiar with the Chris Rock routine? Very good. Okay.
How come Chris Rock can do a routine and everybody finds it hilarious and groundbreaking, and then I go and do the exact same routine, same comedic timing, and people file a complaint to corporate? Is it because I'm white and Chris is black?
So we're going to reenact this with a more positive outcome.
I will play the Chris Rock guy. I would like to see someone else pull this off.
Well, let's have someone who wasn't involved in the reenactment.
Okay, I will play Guy Listening.
Great, Guy Listening. Okay, anyone else remember?
I remember.
Great. You're the Chris Rock guy, and you're Guy Listening.
Okay. Kevin is a great guy. He's a great accountant. He is not much of an entertainer.
Basically, there are two types of black people. And black people are actually more racist because they hate the other type of black people. See, every time the one type wants to have a good time, then the other type comes in and makes a real mess.
I'm sorry. He's butchering it. Could you just let me? Every time black people want to have a good time, some ignorant ass.
Oh, no.
I can't care my kids.
Wait.
Always want credit for something
they're supposed
to do.
What
you want,
cookie? Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk. Who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign of the head. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, people. It's the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We have a lot to get into. We're starting at 7:30. I think we will test if we will stick with that particular time slot. It just works out better for us that way. Without further ado, let me get to the phone number as well, folks. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. As I stated, we have a lot to get into, and actually, there were quite a few today that were not formally listed to discuss, but we've got to get into it anyway. Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan, might have put his foot in his mouth again about poverty and laziness. I think he went a bit too far on that. We'll have to unpack that for you. Phil Jackson, this is a local story. Phil Jackson, legendary coach, most noted, well, also a former player as well, but most notable with the L.A. Lakers. It looks like the Knicks might get him for a lot of money. They might get him. I don't know what he's going to be able to do with these ne'er-do-wells, vagabonds, and thugs. The captain, I assure you, will probably have something to say about that. I don't know what miracle he could do with this lot. Will Carmelo stick around? I don't know. And also, a young lady, 22 years of age, is no longer in the building because she died from a back-end butt shot. That might be a double entendre, actually. Just a shameful way to die. Embarrassing. We'll get into it. lower-tier shenanigans, not so much about her specifically, well, maybe about her a little, but the culture, folks, the culture, we have people getting silicone injected into their behinds to look like modern-day Venuses, and it's just not working out. It's just not working out. All right, let's go to a quick urban alternative groove, classic groove, black rock, psychedelic soul, afro-punk, you name it, we got it. This is a classic cut. Love Roller Coaster, the Ohio Players. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's groove. We'll be right back. Roller Coaster from the mighty Ohio Players, legendary Ohio Players, perhaps one of the greatest funk bands there ever was. Again, a cut so funky, I thought I stepped in something, folks. Once again, the midweek review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And speaking of the captain, I think I saw him on Rigel 4 on the monitor. Captain, stop messing with those lower-tier Negroes. They're beyond help and edification, sir. You're needed on the bridge post-haste. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Rigel 4, but in a different timeline, not timeline A, which has the lower tier. It was timeline B, which has the working class. So I was hanging out with the working class. Now let's get it started.
I'm just going to say, didn't you get Paul Ryan's memo that they're beyond help? According to him, according to him. We'll dig in deep, folks. Unfortunately, I just heard about the story, so I didn't really get any clips available, you know, to really get into it. But we'll get into it in our own inevitable way. And also, I want to shout out personally to Bison, stalwart listener, and he shouted us out of concern on the chat room, in the chat room, excuse me, about a tragedy that occurred in Harlem where there was an explosion, a building exploded, toppled. I believe it was a gas leak, and two women are no longer with us. So that is a tragedy, and they have the family, and, of course, those women have our prayers and our thoughts, definitely our thoughts. Getting into the topics at hand, I wanted to bounce around a little bit, Captain, because, as I said, these issues just really came up within the last couple of days after I actually put together, we put together these topics. Quickly, your thoughts on Phil Jackson. Let's keep it light for a moment before we dig in deep. Phil Jackson, legendary ball player in his own right, and perhaps even more legendary with his skills as a coach. I think he bears the distinction of being perhaps the most winningest coach in history. Definitely a top-tier coach. I think Pat Riley's probably up there somewhere. I think Pat Riley tried to work with the Knicks years ago, and he made no bones about the difficulty in working. It was a different team at that time, but what are your thoughts about this thing? It looks like it might actually go down. If what can he do with this team?
Well, okay, Jackson, Mr. Phil Jackson, won 11 NBA titles as a coach. Let me repeat that. That is enormous. 11 NBA titles as a coach. Now, from what I understand, you know, Jackson, he's 68 years of age, is expected to serve as president of basketball operations. President of basketball operations. He will not be coaching for everybody. He will not be coaching. Front office position. Now, some would say, now let's change that from some. A lot would say that they do have front office issues. Now, there's something to be said about just bringing a winner in the organization. Because a lot of times when you bring in a winner at the top, and remember, things work top down, even though he's not coaching, there is a lot of times a transference of energy. So that winning mentality goes from top all the way down. Not all the time, because, again, he's not coaching. So we have to wait and see what happens. I think always bringing in someone such as him, you know, with his pedigree, when you bring in someone like that is always a good thing for any kind of organization. So you said keep it light, we'll keep it light. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Okay. So Woodson still maintains the coaching position.
As of now.
Okay. Now, mind you, I'm hearing, and this is for a coach, mind you. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. I keep on saying coach. See where my mind is going. For president and basketball operations and president, they're talking about $11 to $12 million a year, coming cheap. For him to be put in that position, now this is Jim Dolan coming in, the owner of the Knicks. This is not peanut money. It's a lot of money. There's got to be a belief that through Mr. Jackson's tutelage that the Knicks are going to go in a different direction. Maybe not as a coach, but there's something going on with him being put in the Knicks infrastructure. That's a lot of money for someone not to have influence. It does mean something. And also, I guess in a way, since he's not titled as coach, Carmelo is going to be a free agent soon, so we don't know. What are your speculations with him? I mean, does this keep him in the mix? Is he going to jump ship if you have a game, a person with this track record coming into the organization?
Well, you have to understand something. Right now, the Knicks are having a losing year. But actually, this is the best basketball he has played as a Knick. That's the reality of it. That's the reality of it. So you have to weigh everything. You know, I don't know exactly what's going on in his head, you know. If he sits down with Mr. Phil Jackson and he says, we're going to do this, we're going to bring in some other players, other people that can score, we're going to move things around, you might want to stay. You know, you might want to stay. Things can't necessarily work out. It's like anything else. It's a business at the end of the day. You know, you have to put you up on the, you know, the offering block, more or less how I see it. I see it progressing, you know. It all depends what the front office is going to do far as other players are concerned. He is the scorer right now on the Knicks. That's the reality of it. Regardless whatever they say about Carmelo Anthony, that's the reality of the situation.
One more thing. You know, I was speaking to the Oracle earlier, and, you know, I spoke to him about this deal with Phil Jackson, and he told me to be cautious in using the term thugs in talking about the Knicks players. How would you describe the Knicks players? Thugs? Are they ne'er-do-wells? What kind of people are we talking about here?
No, I wouldn't really call the Knicks players thugs. I wouldn't really call them that, you know.
J.R. Smith, he doesn't – none of those guys. I'm just, you know.
Not really, man. Not misguided at times. That's the correct term. Misguided at times. You know, caught up in the big city with the big lights at times. Caught up with the big paychecks, the fancy cars at times, which equates to being misguided. But I wouldn't really call those individuals thugs. NFL, you have thugs. You know, basketball, you know, yeah, of course, you know, people will say, well, you know, you had this one bring a gun here that you had, you know.
I'm about to say, Gilbert Arenas comes to my mind.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas brought a gun in here. You know, but I wouldn't really call the Knicks that. Bit misguided. You know, that's the way if I had to put them in a category, that's what I would say. Bit misguided.
Well, I'll say it as much as we move along. I'm curious, and I'll be waiting in advance for Spike Lee's synopsis. Spike Lee, for the listening audience, Spike Lee actually has a show. He has a show courtesy of SiriusXM where he discusses and unpacks and waxes about sports. Now, he's the ultimate sports fan, and this, you know, I'm dying to hear what he thinks about. I would assume he's elated. So, you know, he's got to be perhaps the most loyal Knicks fan I can think of. So let's see, you know, probably sometime this week or next week I'll weigh in or maybe get some audio, just out of curiosity for S and giggles as to what Mr. Lee thinks about this move. All right, folks, once again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Feel free to buzz on in 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Paul Ryan, boy, we saw him during the past election as the running mate of Mr. Romney, and how can I put this? He definitely represents the ideologue faction of the conservative movement. And he was on a program, I think this morning actually, and he made these comments about poverty. I believe he was on Bill Bennett's program. Bennett was a czar. I think he was a drug czar. I think under the Clinton administration, if I'm not mistaken, former governmental person now with the talk show. He's been around for a minute, actually, Mr. Bennett. Anyway, on this show, he made some comments about poverty. The recent CPAC conference that they had, there was a discussion on poverty. So I'm going to go to therawstory.com. It's actually an excellent website. actually, not the Raw Story, but actually Raw Story, rawstory.com. I'm going to read this for a moment. Unfortunately, I did not have the audio. The audio probably would have been more apropos, but we're able to still get into this. It says, in an interview with conservative radio host Bill Bennett that was first noticed by Igor Volsky at Think Progress. Now, Think Progress, of course, is a liberal site, so you know. Well, both Bents, left and right, they have watchdogs, people who are paid probably rather handsomely to see what's going on from both sides of the aisle. So you have to be careful what you say. Anyway, this kind of stuff is gristle for the Tea Party, for the hardliners in the conservative Republican movements. And listen, you have the same flip of the coin for liberals. There are folks that will say provocative things that the other side might not like, but it's really not meant for your ears. It's meant for folks that are the, you know, the real hardliners of the real mainstream conservative and Republican folks. It's really for them. Anyway, that was first noticed by Igor Volsky at Think Progress. Ryan reflected on his controversial poverty at last week's Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC. We call it a poverty trap, he explained. There are incentives not to work and to stay where you are. Ryan also pointed to the work of Charles Murray, a white nationalist who has used racist pseudoscience and misleading statistics to argue that social inequality is caused by the genetic inferiority, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. He goes further. Again, this is Ryan. That's this tailspin or spiral that we're looking at in our communities, he told Bennett. Your buddy Charles Murray or Bob Putnam over at Harvard, those guys have written books on this, which is we have got this tailspin of culture in our inner cities, in particular of men not working and just generations of men not even thinking about working and learning the value of culture, the value and culture of work, Ryan opined. So there's a real culture problem here that has to be dealt with. The Wisconsin Republican added that he had been criticized for opposing the war on poverty. We got to have the courage to face that down, just like we did with welfare reform in the late 1990s, he said. And if we succeed, we can help resuscitate this culture and get people back to work and get people back to meeting their potential. Okay, now, in this particular article, they don't get into him using the term lazy, but it is entitled Paul Ryan Cites White Nationalists to Blame Poverty on Lazy Men in Inner Cities. I want the captain weigh in on this while I look for another article where I would assume he spoke more specifically, because there appears to be a problem with him saying bluntly lazy men in inner cities, and folks, and perhaps rightfully so, are making that as an indirect slap, indirect critique against men of color. So while I look for this article that's a bit more specific, Captain, what are your thoughts about Paul Ryan's comments? He mentioned a few things that I don't necessarily disagree with, but I'll go further into it. But I don't like the term lazy men in inner cities. What are your thoughts?
All right, let's look at this objectively. All right, we're dealing here with a capitalistic society, and capitalism is built off of exploitation. What does that mean? You will have a certain amount of people that will make 40 grand a year. You'll have a certain amount of people that make 50, 60, 70, 80, all the way upward up to about $250,000 a year. Now, here's the reality of the situation. If I could, even though this would not happen, press a button and you give all of these individuals that they're talking about bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and doctorates, what do you think would happen? There would be riots in the street, my friends, because there would not be positions for these individuals because the infrastructure would not be able to support it because it's based off of exploitation. That's one. The second thing we have to understand, looking at this objectively, is that no one wants to work as hard as immigrants. No one wants to work as hard as immigrants. Immigrants leave their country, come here looking for opportunity. In a city, a lot of times, not all the time, a lot of time, not all the time, have immigrants. You have Latin, you have some blacks, you have all different type of things coming here to this country inside the inner city, and they definitely want to work. Now, what we have to understand, some of what he's saying might be true, but you cannot make a blanket statement that this is the total root cause. Some, not all, some, because we do know some people, they do clean up, they do what's necessary, and they move on. Some people exhibit this type of behavior, not all. And it's not definitely the root cause, because if you went ahead and you gave all of these people, made them highly educated and everything else, the system is set up such that only a certain amount of people at a certain amount of time is going to go through and make a certain amount of money. The reality of it, that's the truth, because that's what capitalism is. That's how it works, and that's the reality of it in a nutshell. So him making a blanket statement is totally off. He needs to be more objective. But some of what he's saying, now people know me to be independent, so some of what the conservatives say, some is actually correct. You understand? You have to have some conservative values in order to get upward mobility in this society. Some. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, that's my problem with these ideologues, is that it's never a nuance. You'll never get – that's what angers me about even when we do our show. Our show makes me angry specifically, but it's more about how our show measures up with other shows when they discuss things. It's never giving you the left and right nuance. I'm more on the conservative side. The captain's more of an independent. But we try to look at things dead on, like straight down the middle, and you have to calibrate your viewpoint. You can't give a wholesale – I mean, nothing is absolute, Captain, as you just said. And this is what Ryan – this is what infuriates me a bit. And I think – now, there are others that are – they want off with his head. Now, I'm also looking at some of these bloggers. When you look at the bloggers – and this is the scary part about how people are getting their information. The bloggers are really spinning it. They're spin masters. I mean, you have to take what he says specifically, and you can perhaps infer what he said. But when I'm just glancing, just as you were speaking, Captain, I'm glancing at some of these bloggers, and they are going into he blames blacks and calls black folks lazy. He didn't say black people. We can infer. You can say it appears that he inferred this, or one can infer that. But you can't say he's saying black folks are lazy. I mean, which one is the racist? In other words, you can't go by an assumption and then put it out there as if that's fact. So I'm seeing people already spinning this. Well, he said black people are lazy. No, he said the inner city. The inner city is comprised of, I mean, we could say mostly black and brown, but there are poor white folks in the city. That's one thing about the term urban that's very problematic. You and I are urban dwellers, Captain, but when I go to Manhattan, I see quite a few white folks in the city. They're not urban, living in Manhattan. What makes a person that lives in downtown Manhattan more urban as a euphemism than someone living uptown in Harlem? Like, that's for another show. But that's what's kind of interesting. The cities are comprised and populated multiracially. Most major cities are populated multiracially. And New York being perhaps the most ethnically diverse place on earth, perhaps. And yet, black and brown folks get the urban tag, and white folks are living in the city. But they're never called urban. That's another show. Anyway, anecdotally, years ago, I worked for a private insurance firm, and there were young black men that were working at this firm that were there as data entry half clerical. And some of these guys were rough around the edges. And I remember, even when I had the chance to converse with these guys, you talk to them on the side, Captain, they would tell you, these are young men, late teens, early 20s. This is their first job. And they would tell you that when they would leave their neighborhoods, that their crew, so to speak, their friends that they would leave behind in the morning, they would say that they were constantly being, quote-unquote, clowned and ridiculed for going to work. And I would say to them, are you serious? Are you telling me, because when you physically, now these guys, they game, rough around the edges, you could smell pot smoke of them on occasion, Captain, and I would speak to the principals of the company, and they would tell me, frankly, say, listen, they're not here, in your position. They're here, lower. They're here for, not to tell on them, but they were. It was very plainly aware. Very plainly noticeable that these guys were rough around the edges, blah, 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 blah. But they were there for a certain purpose. They were there for a certain amount of time. First job, entry level. And they would they accepted them that way, essentially. But I thought that even with them being rough around the edges, they were still there to work. They did the best they could do. But even with what they were doing, they had peers not working that would clown them and ridicule them for working. Why are you doing that? So I never forgot that, and this was years ago. I never forgot that, Captain, but it does remind me a little bit about what Mr. Ryan is talking about. And that's the whole thing. It's never nuanced, but you got to be able to cherry pick some of it. And there is a culture. There are people. Now, as you said, it can't be the total picture. You have folks that have gotten raw breaks or no breaks at all, poorly educated, just wall after wall, impediment after impediment. Some folks are able to get around those obstacles and move forward. Some cannot. We've spoken about the term learned helplessness. We know that learned helplessness, even when a lifeline is given to someone, you might reject it because you're used to failing. So some of what Ryan is talking about has some validity, but when he makes it as if it's the totality of these inner cities, he's being patently dishonest. What he should say, there's a element of this in these inner cities. We've got to root out this. We have to provide greater opportunities, provide training, uproot, which he did talk about this, uproot some of this cultural influence that plays a role. But to use terms like lazy, I mean, again, these are the ancestors, Captain. Let me be more frankly. These are folks whose ancestors were not lazy. So I want to flip it that way. You have people like Ryan calling I'm not going to be like these bloggers. If he is to infer or to be indirect about critiquing black people, because he's saying it in a wholesale way, if we're going to look at it that way, I find it very funny, Captain, very funny, that black folks have gotten this lazy moniker or lazy tag when you weren't picking the cotton. You didn't pick the cotton. You didn't erect the buildings. You weren't on the farmland. You weren't doing any of this stuff. But you got us here for free to do it for you. But we're lazy. That right there is got to be someone has to call him on that. How do you figure that in? And we did it for free, and we did it for centuries. Now we're lazy. I'm just saying. But if you're going to be nuanced with the argument, be nuanced with it. Don't come up with a wholesale nonsense. Any thoughts, Captain? Go to a musical break.
Nothing more to add to that. Well said.
You know, I'm sure that some folks think that I'm you know, they say, well, you're not really a conservative. You caught me in a good day. I still believe a little bit of what he said has some validity. A little bit. He went a little too far. It wasn't too specific. All right. Going to a quick Herb Alt groove. This is Soul Live. Soul Live Reverb. We'll be right back. Let's groove. La 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 Soul Live, Reverb. This is the Midweek and Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. I want to talk about a story that, on one level, if I was completely heartless, it would be laughable. But it's not laughable. It really is a sad story, but we've been hearing more and more of these stories. They seem to be happening with some degree of frequency. It deals with vanity. Women of varied ethnicities, but I'm hearing quite a few women of color getting this. These butt lifts, butt injections, silicone oftentimes being injected into the, I think it's supposed to be just fat injected into the bottom, but I'm hearing silicones being injected into these bottoms of these women looking to get an enhanced rear. And they're being done by folks who aren't in the medical field. They're being done as, I was going to say, I used the term backdoor, but I guess that's kind of double entendre, by backdoor individuals. It is a double entendre. That are not licensed. I mean, you don't know who's doing this to you and what they're injecting you with. Your life is at risk, and it's all for some warped sense of vanity. You know, we're going to talk about the hip-hop artist, and I say artist in quotes, Nicki Minaj. I'm going to segue from this story into her because, you know, listen, she's one of those individuals that I think promotes the backside being attractive. And I wouldn't doubt that she is probably at least going, perhaps going to someone who's a professional. I mean, this is the rave, or the rage, I should say, the rage cross-racially. Varied ethnicities are getting this done. Women are getting this done. But for this woman, to be more specific, 22-year-old woman goes to some seedy hotel, a hotel that's known for its hourly rate, so you can infer what that means. So she goes to a hotel from this unlicensed, quote-unquote, cosmetologist, and she gets injected, and folks are suspecting that she was injected into a vein, and that vein caused her heart to stop. She went into cardiac arrest, and then she later died. I'm going to read more specifics about this, but the reason why I'm mentioning it is because this is some warped sense of sanity. I'm seeing photographs of women of color in the club where the whole thing looks some kind of rodeo, a clown. The Caucasian hair hats, the hot and toss Venus figures. Listen, I like a shapely bottom like any other man of color. But I'm seeing shapely, I'm not kidding, use the term shapely, bottoms that are exaggerated, grotesquely exaggerated, where your thighs don't even match your bottom. It looks like you're some kind of insect-human hybrid, literally. I mean, this is Hottentot Venus on a wide scale. I mean, when you see even the profile of Nicki Minaj, it looks like a cartoon. And this is being promoted, and this comes in with the minstrelsy. The minstrelsy that's promoted, now it's killing you on so many different levels, ladies and gentlemen. It's killing you on so many different levels for something that isn't even real. It's not real. Any of this. So let me go into it a bit more. It's a sad story, but the fact that you have a woman that's appreciate women. I like girly girls. I like girly girls. I like women that are into themselves and into beauty, but in a natural sense. But this unnatural thing, where you're hearing more and more of young women actually dying, to die over the, because of a butt injection. It's almost a comedy routine. It's almost a comedy routine. Anyway, this is according to the New York Daily News. Cops charged Tamira Mobley of Woodridge, New Jersey, with manslaughter and felony assault for the death of Tamara Blaine of Jamaica, Queens, who was found in the Liberty Inn Hotel in July suffering from a seizure. The victim's mother, I thought this was more recently, but it's being reported now. Anyway, the victim's mother said she tried to report her daughter missing to cops. When I looked for her, nobody was there for me. That's just the way it is. Black people only have value when they die, Lola Blaine said. A 22-year-old woman who died under mysterious circumstances in a Manhattan Hot Sheets hotel last summer was the victim of a botched buttocks lift, and now a New Jersey woman has been charged in the death, police sources said Tuesday. So they probably just figured out now how these circumstances came about. Tamara Blaine was suffering a seizure when police were called to the Liberty Inn along the West Side Highway in the Meatpacking District the afternoon of July 8th. Blaine, who lived in Jamaica, Queens, died a short time later at St. Luke's Hospital. The medical examiner ruled Blaine's death a homicide October 7th, noting the puncture wounds in her buttocks. The official cause of death was a systemic silicone emboli due to a cosmetic silicone injection of the buttocks, officials said. All right. Then what is this? I don't even find this particularly attractive. I mean, we're seeing just an exaggeration of the bottom.
Well, I could be real subjective and just say, well, just knock it off. Stop with the butt augmentation business and just knock it off. But I'm in a good mood today, so I'll be objective. Number one, I'm not a female. Now, to explain what I mean by that, which is obvious, but I have to go in depth. Men have internal observation. What does that mean? That's your ego. You want to build a business. That drives your ego. You want to sleep with a lot of women. That drives your ego. You see? That's internal observation. Women have external observation, meaning which every time they go by a mirror, they have to look at themselves. They look at their butt. They look how slim their waist is. They look at their face. They think they're getting more beautiful. It's also the same reason why when most, not all, men begin to clean up somewhere, and then a woman walks in because of her external observation, she goes, "You didn't start yet." So women, they externally observe. So they have a tendency to be neater. Now, this is what drives them as far as the beauty perspective. Of course, it's also difference in hormones and everything else. Coming up in my 20s, a lot of men innately understand this. So you go, you work out with weights, and you catch the woman's external observation. She notices your muscles, which in turn drives your internal observation, your ego. A lot of women are attracted to you. You see how this works here? You're learning something here. All right? You're learning something here. So, now being objective, because I'm not a female, if this is what you want to do because of your external observation, you have to do this the right way. You have to go to the higher level plastic surgeons. That's what they do. So if something goes wrong, you are on the operating table. Hello, hello. Now, I'm not really a fan of augmentated booties. I like the natural thing. I like for the thighs to match up with the behind and the hips. You know, it looks real. You know, the little slim girl. Sometimes a slim woman does have a big behind, you know, in comparison to the rest of her. But that outrageous, just as the great Afro Nerd said, it looks crazy. You know, you hybrid being you. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But if this is something that you're going to do, you have to do it correctly. You have to spend the money. Save up your tax returns, you know, save up your checks and say, okay, now I got like 10 grand. let me handle my business and do it right. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, I'm just concerned that on some level, you know, it's a tragedy, but it's a tragedy based on stupidity. And as you just said so aptly, Captain, no one ever, it's a shortcut. No one ever, first of all, you can't take shortcuts with your health. You can't do that. And this is, as I think, is obviously geared for male attention. You know, it's so much of a, I don't know, this is almost worthy of scientific study.
Really.
I mean, it's just to the point where, you know, a anthropologist who would study animal mating. This is almost the same kind of thing, except for we're led to believe this is a higher order beings. You know, when you see how you have animal behavioralists that observe what tigers do or what simians are doing. They do certain things. Birds do certain things to attract the opposite sex. And this is a perverted way to gain male attention, especially black male attention, because it is so well known that black men are, and really it started to creep in cross-racially on the male side, but black men, black and brown men, because I can't forget my Latino brethren, because I've been in their company. We both have said things about a certain woman that had a certain posterior. But these are women that I perceived seem to be more of a natural look. I know, this right here, I've always seen, Captain, and you've been in my company as well, I've always noticed a woman's shape when it looks quite natural. But I've also been able to see this exaggerated look that is so exaggerated and clownish, no one would be attracted to this. And this is what's happening, I think. And the perversion of it is what disturbs me. Now, I want to segue this into, for obvious reasons, Nicki Minaj. Now, we spoke about her. We've been speaking about her actually for quite a bit because of, we know from a few weeks ago, she took a vacation. Utter defecation with that augmented buttocks of hers on the iconic imagery of Malcolm X. And she was perturbed by the criticism. So we're running into something else that's happened recently. There's a cartoon that has gone somewhat viral, Captain. Have you seen this cartoon?
Absolutely.
So the listening audience, it's easy to look this up. There's a cartoon, almost a political one in some way. It's almost a political one. Cartoon of a young girl in her room, and she's on her bed, and in the background you see a poster of Lupita Nyong'o hanging up in the background, and you see her proudly holding the golden statue, the Oscar. In the trash, you see discarded posters of Nicki Minaj. Now, that absolutely applaud. Doing a cursory review, doing a quick search, I'm seeing that this is actually somehow controversial, Captain. Because I'm seeing people who are somewhat defending Nicki Minaj's honor. They're saying that, well, this is a woman that has a certain degree of success, albeit minstrel success. But she has a certain amount of success, and it's really unfair that these two should be posed against each other. Why are you creating a rivalry? I'm saying to myself, again, this woman disrespected one of your historical icons. And you seem to gloss over that, and you're trying to protect her quote-unquote honor, when I think it is clearly appropriate that we start to see from what we spoke about last time, that this is an example of putting folks on notice. When you have functional, not dysfunctional, functional black folk, functional people of color in the public sphere, which is causing others to take notice, putting them on notice, like Nicki Minaj. I think that is clearly appropriate. But then I'm sitting here scratching my head, Captain. Why are people coming up with this murkiness? It's never straight. I'm sitting here saying, obviously this is a good thing, but no. There's a set of folks that are actually defending Nicki Minaj. Well, it's just, I'm actually learning, I guess I kind of sort of knew this, but some folks are explaining this away that, well, it's the respect the hustle thing. It's the respect the hustle thing. There are a number of black and brown folks that respect Nicki Minaj's hustle, even though her hustle is to your detriment. You're still respecting it. So I don't know what to do. Kind of agenda that cartoon is promulgating is a desirable one. It is desirable. And yet, I saw, I'll shout it out, there's a blog called Very Smart Brothers, or Brothers, B-R-O-T-H-A-S, Very Smart Brothers, Brothers. And there were almost 500 comments, and a great deal of them were not really looking at it in a straight-up fashion, like, hooray. No one was really saying, hooray, it's on now. In my mind, when I saw that, it's on, Captain. It's on. Many of these people, why do you have to go and do that for? Why do you have to diss Nicki over Lupita? What? Who are these people? Who are these people? Captain, in your own inimitable way, what is this? Where is this murkiness coming from? What is this?
Well, on this one, I will come at it from a subjective standpoint. There's only one way to do this, gentlemen. Knock it off. The Nicki Minaj thing is knock it off. 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 All right? I'm not even going to entertain the other side of the equation. I won't. I won't do that. Just knock it off. Knock it off. Knock it off. We know what she's doing. We know what she's about. It's time to go in a different direction if you want upward mobility. That's all. There's nothing more to talk about. That's it. Knock it off, man. Knock it off. That's it. I will not entertain the other side of the equation on this one. Sorry. That is the equilibrium. Right? Back over to you, Serapho Nerd. Knock it off.
Yeah, one more.
Knock it off.
Yes. Yeah, just knock it off. This inability to look at things straight up, killing us, literally. Anyway, moving right along, enough with Nicki and the minstrels. I want to talk about Cupid. I'm not talking about the god of love, although I do love, I love this tasering drone. You sent this to my attention, didn't you, Captain? I believe so. Yeah, I think you did. It's a drone that I think it's kind of still in the testing phases. I don't know if this will see the light of day. Maybe it will. I would assume it has to work out some bugs. But it appears to be a personal home drone that emits charge. Now, I'm hearing 80,000 volts, which I don't see how that's possible, but everywhere I've read about this thing, it emits 80,000 volts to an intruder. So if someone's going in your home, an intruder, your app, well, it's connected to an app. You could actually control this thing somewhat where it will shoot like any other taser, and it will disable the person instantaneously. We saw this footage of a person actually being brought down in an instant. What happens? And you can notify the police that, you know, if this intruder is in your home, he's knocked out, immobile, have the police come in and remove the refuse. Now, I think this is great, personally. I would prefer for this to be floating around a home as opposed to a homeowner having to pull out a gun or even having guns in the home, per se, because we're seeing, I think, statistically, that these people who have guns oftentimes bring harm to themselves by virtue of owning that gun than actually dealing with a potential intruder. That's the irony. Think that if someone's in your home, and let's say you're not at home, you're at work, you could actually view from your phone what has transpired, notify the police, and keep it moving. And it doesn't result in death. I mean, you might have some miscellaneous cases. We've seen people be tased, and they might end up in cardiac arrest. I mean, there could be complications. But for the most part, if you are trespassing in someone's home and your intent is to rob, maim, murder, kill, what have you, I think this is an excellent thing. I think this is the wave of the future. Now, what disturbed me, and this is shouting out our friend, he sent me an email, and he went into, if I'm remembering it correctly, he went into a rant about, how does this work itself out with the Michael Dunns and the George Zimmermans? Come on, Q. Come on. I got to tell you to knock it off now. That's the exception. That's not the norm. You're sounding like you're hearing these progressive stations where you're letting people to – I mean, we got to use the logical mind here. You're a man of high cognition, or else you wouldn't be listening to this program. You can't buy into that being the meme. Who cares about Zimmerman and Michael Dunn? Those aren't the people – not who I'm concerned with walking the streets. As a black person, statistically – it's going to be another black person that tries to put some hot lead in your buttocks or give you a butt injection like this, unfortunately, Ms. Mobley. That's the exception, not the rule. Why mention – it's highly unlikely some diminutive Latin person is going to be putting a hot lead in your behind or some white man. Raekwon, Jaquan, that's the guy you got to watch out for. And it's not, at least at this point, it's not lethal weaponry. Taser is not exactly pleasant, but I'd rather take that than a .45 or a .22. I mean, what am I missing here? I think this is a good idea. What are your thoughts on this Cupid drone?
Well... All right, you're dealing with 80,000 volts. As long as the amperage is left low, you can, you know, transmit 80,000 volts. They raise up the amperage now, the amps, you'll be dead in an instant. So that's how it works when you're dealing with electricity. You got amps versus the volts, and you need the two in order to make for the transference. So I don't think it's a bad idea. I really don't think it's a bad idea at all. You know, they have to work out the kinks. You know, the device looks like it needs a little better, you know, equilibrium, probably something dealing with the gyroscope and everything for it to balance, you know, something like that going on. Once it flies a bit better and it can move around a bit better, you might have an effective defense mechanism for your house. So it looks interesting, to say the least. You know, and I figured more or less, I said, here's one that Afro-Nerd will definitely like. I said, he's going to like this one. So probably in about, let's say, in another, it worked out the kinks. Let's give him 7 years. Then it'll probably be practical. Because it doesn't look like much kinks for him to work out. Then it'll probably be practical for the home.
You know? And also the size factor, too, because the one that's in the, I would implore the audience to go to YouTube or Google this. Just Google the acronym Cupid. Cupid, go to YouTube. You'll certainly see the actual presentation of how this thing works. And you see that they have a test person who was willingly allowed himself to get tasered. And he went down instantaneously. Instantaneously. There's no struggle with this. So it definitely will do the job from what I can tell. But like you said, the logistics, I mean, that particular drone, you know, if you have a mansion, I can see that thing flying around. But for the regular homeowner, you know, you might need something that's like something that's the size of a Coke can, maybe. It would have to be something small, and maybe you have a few of them flying around your house that are small. But it, like you said, it has to be able to navigate independently in your house and without hitting anything. You know, it's got to be able to, like you said, sensors. They got to work that thing out where it can really do the job. But if this thing is able to float around independently, almost to the point where, you know, well, first of all, we'll probably catch someone unaware, we would hope. But if it's able to, you know, just kind of instantly shoot out a bolt, more than a couple, I'm all for that, man. I'm about that. Also, I'm seeing Bison for Life. D-Bird, I guess you haven't seen a Smooth King or Show magazine. Yeah, I might have perused a Smooth or a King in my day. But even then, Bison, I'm not so sure. I have my limits. The rumps on some of these women are so – well, first of all, the ones in Smooth and King, they don't seem to be – you know, I can't say if they haven't been augmented either, but at least try to fool me. The ones I see, you know, you go online and you go and you see some of these parties, files of everyday women. We're not talking about video vixens or video models. We're talking about just everyday women where you really see. I mean, it's to the point of almost obesity, or to me it looks like obesity, except that it's so much just the rump. It's you could infer that there had to be some kind of injection for that. And it gives off it looks like someone is obese. It looks clownish, and especially when these women have all this other stuff going on. You know, weird clothing, not very tasteful, weird hair, you know, Rachel Gentile hair. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on with this thing. The butt implant or the butt injection, along with everything else, it looks like madness to me. It looks like you're looking at the eye of the devil. It looks madness. One more thing, we're going to go to a musical break, Captain. You know what? We didn't speak about Bill O'Reilly's gangster culture. We've been kind of missing the mark on that. I think a few shows ago we were supposed to talk about that just to reacquaint the audience with that particular topic. The O'Reilly Factors, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News correspondent, he interviewed senior advisor to the Obama administration, Valerie Jarrett. He had her on there. He was interviewing her. And, of course, they were talking about President Obama's Brother's Keeper initiative, where we know that that's the intent of that initiative is to give assistance, duly needed assistance to black and brown young men. Hopefully we will see the specifics of this program, but I applaud it. You can't not applaud it. So he's there to talk about that, but then in Mr. O'Reilly's own style, his own smarmy style, he is very critical toward Jarrett, Ms. Jarrett, and Obama in the sense of how are you going to attack this gangster culture, as he put it, this gangster culture. If you don't address that, you're not going to be able to be successful with this Brother's Keeper thing. So I'm going to try to find this clip. Here we go. Here's a clip. We'll see how long we can stick with it. Play close attention to how he positions this argument, and then I'm going to go into it a little bit deeper, the captain and myself. Hold on. This is Bill O'Reilly, Valerie Jarrett, gangsta culture. Hold on.
watching us. Why I went to the White House today. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. As we have been reporting for years, the root of many social problems in America is the collapse of the traditional family. Last night we documented it, and you can see that memo if you missed it on BillO'Reilly.com. This afternoon, President Obama at the White House announced an initiative called My Brother's Keeper to help young African-American men who are at risk. The plan is to combine federal resources with private funds from major corporations to help the kids. Now, I was invited to the announcement, and I was happy to attend. The initiative is very well intentioned, but some specific things must be done. First, you got to teach children at risk to read. If that takes one-on-one tutoring, that's what has to happen. Two, you have to provide mentors to individual children that the teachers pinpoint who lack guidance at home. There should be a volunteer program for mentors in every city and town in this country. Three, high-profile Americans, including the President and First Lady, must go on television and the net to warn young people having babies outside of marriage and bringing children into this world without resources is cruel. It's cruel. It has to be a campaign of persuasion so young Americans wise up. Also, there has to be peer pressure not to get pregnant unless you're in a stable situation. Are we all understanding that? Right now, there is no peer pressure. That has to change. Fourth, the initiative has to get local business people to hire kids for summer jobs and internships. Children must know about the workplace and what is expected there. And finally, American law enforcement has to engage children at risk to convince them they're not the enemy. If those five things are part of the My Brother's Keeper initiative, I can guarantee you, America will begin to turn the terrible situation around. But if people continue not to make judgments about bad parents, disorderly children, chaos in the family unit, we continue to make excuses for all that, problems are only going to get worse. Hopefully today the White House made the first step, and I believe that American business, law enforcement, and we the people will step up to help the kids at risk. I really believe that. And that's a memo. Now, the top story tonight, reaction with us, Senior Advisor President Obama, Verily Jarrett. And I was pleased you invited me to this. You shocked a lot of people. People were fainting when I walked in.
We were delighted to have you.
Look, the president mentioned in his remarks a culture of cynicism on the streets. And it's not just blacks, but it's the poor and the hardcore, what they call gangsters. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's a culture of cynicism, like, we can't make it, we're not going to be a part of this, we're going to sell drugs, we're going to do what we want. You've got to get in there. And I don't know if you guys see the urgency of that.
Well, of course the president does. And he said this afternoon, look, we all have a role that we can play here. This is not a big government program. In fact, the government's role is rather minor. And it requires accountability. It requires people to step up to the plate and work hard and stay in school and excel and dream, but it also requires a community around them to provide a safety net. The president talks about his own childhood where there were times when he wasn't studying hard in school.
He was very candid with these kids.
But he had a mother who believed in education, and he had grandparents and teachers.
He had some guidance.
He had a lot of guidance.
Right.
And what he said is that what he wants for all of our children is to have that safety net.
Look.
But he also told them, look, boys, you're going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to act responsibly.
And that message has to get across. But you have to attack the fundamental disease if you want to cure it. Now, I submit to you that you're going to have to get people like Jay-Z, Kanye West, all of these gangster rappers to knock it off. That's number one.
Well, I think these boys need positive role models,
listen
which you
me.
Said.
Listen to me. You got to get where they live, all right? They had idolized these guys with the hats on backwards and the terrible rap lyrics and the drug and all of that. You got to get these guys, and I think President Obama can do it. And you got to put them on TV and the net, and they got to say, "Knock it off! This is wrong." You've got to get them all, and then you got to get the president and the first lady and every other profile. You had Magic Johnson there today. He's a good guy. And you got a bunch of these guys. And you got to barrage, and make it uncomfortable to have a baby out of wedlock. Make it uncomfortable to sell drugs. You got to reverse the peer pressure. You see where I'm coming from here?
I see exactly what you're coming from. And what we showed today is that there is evidence that there are wonderful programs out there that can inspire these young people. The president is a terrific role model. The room today was full of role models that these young boys can look up to. And what we have to do is take what's working and take it to scale.
All right, are
and
you just fact, blowing off my idea
no,
here?
No, no, I'm just telling you
look,
that I think that there's a lot of ways of
you
approaching.
You had Colin Powell in there. You had
terrific
a lot of
role model.
Right, right. But they don't even know who he is. All
well,
right?
Actually, I think they do.
On the south side of Chicago.
Oh, of course they know.
But he's over here.
Of course they know who Colin Powell is. Of
look,
course
no,
they know who he is.
It's these gangster rappers. It's the athletes. It's the tattoo guys. You got to get them in there to tell these kids that you've got to stop the destructive behavior. You're going to wind up in a morgue.
You get what he's saying.
All
right, you know what?
Good theater. It's good theater, boy. I like it.
It is theater. It is theater. And listen, I'm pretty sure the listeners have heard a similar diatribe from yours truly. But he's missing something. He's missing. I was going to go to a musical break, but forget that. Let's just power through. Let's just power through, Captain. Okay. This is where he loses me. When he goes into, first of all, Kanye and Jay-Z as gangsta rappers, you got to get these guys. You got to tell them to knock it off. Okay. These are not really true gangsta rappers. They're quote-unquote nigga rappers. I wouldn't classify those guys as gangsta rappers. They're nigga rappers. That's a separate rap category unto itself, where I can't really find the so much of an overt criminality, so much with Jay-Z and Kanye. There may be, you know, inferences, hints at it, but they're not really the hardest of the hardest. They're mostly into flossing, minstrelsy, shenanigans. There's a lot more. Actually, the younger hip-hoppers, the guys coming out of Chicago, the trap music artists, the Chief Keefs, those guys are the ones you need to be looking at. But it's not even that. Bill O'Reilly fails to get into the corporations that sign the checks. Simple and plain. I would want him... I remember, years ago, he was going after Ludacris for the same thing. I think he qualified him as a gangster rapper. You know, he's the move, bitch, get out the way guy. Actor more now. Never considered him he's not going to know the minutiae. He's not going to know the specifics as to who really is. He even put Common in there one time. Common is the exception, not the rule. Common is, but because it was a political thing, I think he had some lyrics for Joanne Chesimard. We know her as Asada Shakur. No, he's a political guy. He's a conscious guy. He was thrown in there also. So Fox News, they don't really know the culture well enough to know who is who the major players. But beyond that, why does Barney's go into business with Jay-Z? Why does Nokia go into business with Snoop Dogg? Okay, what about the radio programmers? What about the record companies? What about the sponsorships? We have Rick Ross that initially lost his sponsorship with Reebok when he made rape references in one of his songs. But I think he might have been picked up again. I got to double check that. But even when some of these guys, they lose it for a moment, when you think that it's forgotten, it blows over, they pick up their sponsorship again. So that's the element that I want Bill O'Reilly to talk about. Why don't you tell these major corporations that underwrite the minstrelsy, why don't you tell them to knock it off? Because that's what's really going on. Neo-black minstrelsy is underwritten by corporate America. Enough said. Cannot dispute it. Can't deconstruct it. I want to see Bill O'Reilly's smarmy behind attack it from that angle. The reason why he will not, because he is probably in business with the same corporate sponsors. That's the deal. We saw that with Reverend Sharpton when the controversy with Imus came down. And when that came down, and then at a certain point, people were saying, they were forced to say, wait a minute, we know about Imus, where is your critique of the hip-hop? When he was about to go in that direction, it was also mentioned that the record company had been giving Sharpton money. I believe in one specific instance, he was scheduled to do some kind of speech involving the record companies, and they when he was going in the direction of critiquing the record companies, all of a sudden his $50,000 speaking fee was revoked, and then mysteriously his critique of the record companies mysteriously went away, Captain. Now, very few people know that. You can look it up. He was when he was forced to actually bring some weight against the record companies, you found out he was getting paid by some of these people, and then the aggression went away. His passion went away when that check went away. That's the deal. We got a few moments. Let's go to 312. I think I know who this is. Mr. Mims.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
How you doing?
Welcome. Pretty good.
The whole thing, you kind of hit it with Riley. Riley's a fraud. I mean, he's an absolute fraud. I mean, look, the average Fox News audience is a 68-year-old white man. That's not a joke. That's for real. The average audience is between 50 and deaf. They only get about 1 million viewers a night. The average episode of Walking Dead gets 12 or 13 million viewers an episode, right? So Riley, all he does, I don't believe he believes half of what he says. He's simply pandering to his audience, these old white guys who don't know anything. All they know about rap is all these scary black guys. That's all they know. They can't tell Common from Ludacris from Kanye. They don't know anything except they all have one name. And when he goes and he says these things, most of the time he doesn't believe it. He's just, like I said, pandering to his audience. I'm surprised that the woman on her show, I forgot her name
Jarrett.
Now. Right. I'm surprised she agreed to be on it. That was surprising. Because you know that all he's going to do is set her up to make her look bad. So, you know, you're absolutely right. Same thing goes for Al Sharpton. All these guys are frauds. All these guys are, you know, they're in for the take. They pander to their audience. Most half the time they don't even believe what they're saying, but they know what their audience believes, and they feed into that.
Well, you know, sir, the only thing is, I think some people, well, first of all, my understanding is, as low as the ratings may be, if you really get into the numbers, Fox is still the top of the heap compared to CNN and MSNBC. Fox still gets the numbers.
But still, if you look at the ratings, if you look at the numbers, they only average about 1 million people a night, which means MSNBC and CNN, they get lower than 1 million easily. Particularly CNN. CNN sometimes struggles with just 650,000 viewers. And also, if you look at the demographics, which is a different thing, if you look at the demographics, MSNBC always does better with younger demographics. Consistently, it's always beating the other two networks, demographic-wise. They may not get them in numbers, but they get them in demographics, which may be more important to the advertisers.
Well, listen, MSNBC is the flip of the coin because they're as animated. You know, they've ramped it up in the last few years. They're as animated as Fox is and sometimes as obtuse as Fox is, only that they're coming in on a different angle. My issue is that when he talks about gangster culture, as he put it, gangsters, you got to get rid of these gangsters. You got to get Jay-Z and Kanye in, and you got to get them to talk to these black ne'er-do-wells. He will not – I want him to talk about – see, I'm not saying he's completely incorrect. where he needs to get in is, oh, yeah, gangster culture is real. Why doesn't he talk about how gangster culture is underwritten and promoted by the corporate structure? The corporate
structure, he's not going to do that.
Pays the salaries of all these people that he's complaining about. No one confronts him on that. Even Valerie Jarrett. I mean, everybody just kind of does their job. They show up, but they don't really try to really question him or really try to, okay, let's go into what you're saying. What's the purpose? It's like an exercise of futility, Serge. It's an exercise in futility. What are we doing here?
Well, you see, that's why I'm surprised she agreed to be on the show, because anybody can easily challenge him, but nobody ever does. He likes to have people on the show who won't challenge him. Evidently, she didn't challenge him either. Maybe they knew that in advance. He's easy to debate. He's easy to make me be a fool of. Look every time when he has John Stewart on, wraps him up.
Yeah, John Stewart is the only person I've seen that's able to clown him, and he's quick. He's able to get in there and really do some damage. And that's what
right.
needs to be done. When he goes into these rap rants, no one ever talks about corporate America underwrites these minstrels. Why don't you say something about that, Mr. O'Reilly?
Because it's his show. He's the boss. He's not going to have anybody who's going to challenge him or question him on that. He's not going to do that. Not on his show.
I want to hear from the captain in a moment. Captain, what are your thoughts about this? About O'Reilly? Well, you did say it a little bit, but what about corporate America underwriting the minstrels?
Well, you just follow the flow of the money. You follow the flow of the money. The same flow of the money that goes to the quote-unquote minstrels is going to O'Reilly. So Mr. O'Reilly's not going to say anything. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, they sponsor tours. Coca-Cola and Pepsi sponsors Mr. O'Reilly. Need I say any more? Game over. There you have it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
All right, Serge, as always, we've got about a minute remaining. We'll be back on Saturday at 6 p.m. to do all over again. As always, continue supporting us. Serge, we appreciate it. Let's go on out on a classic rock groove. This is Deep Purple. Actually, I would like to see His Royal Badness cover this song. Deep Purple, Into the Fire. See you on Saturday, folks, 6 p.m. The Comic Shop, and, of course, Afro Nerd Radio at 7.